This is Jean Gibbons speaking to Edna Gibbons. It's April 2nd, 1983. It's a Saturday afternoon. We're sitting in her kitchen. Okay, I'd like to start with some questions about your family, why you came to Wyoming, and when you were born, that sort of thing. Yeah, all let's right. just start with when you were born and where.
Okay. I was born in Pennsylvania in 1921.
Okay. How come your family came out here?
My dad was a coal miner. He had worked here previously, and it was better work here than it was back there, so he moved the family out here.
When previously, before him and your mom were married?
Yes.
Was it? Okay. Okay, when you came to Rock Springs, how old were you?
I was 13 years old, and it was in 1934 that we came to Rock Springs.
What was your first impression of Rock Springs? How did you come here, by train?
We came by bus.
Okay.
It took 5 days to come from Pennsylvania to Rock Springs by Greyhound. And my impression of Rock Springs was not very good. We had come here from a much larger place, and Rock Springs was little, it was dirty. The tracks were in the middle of town.
What tracks? Train tracks?
The train tracks. And it was just not a very good impression.
What about the people? What was your first impressions of the people here?
Well, the people were much friendlier than we were used to. And you didn't lock your doors when you went to town. This always seemed very strange, but nobody did. And there was no breaking in and stealing things. Everybody left things alone. My mother always wanted to go back to Pennsylvania as soon as they got enough money saved to go back. But within a year's time, she had changed her mind. She really liked the place, and you couldn't have gotten her to go back.
Really? What sold her on it?
Well, the people mainly. She got acquainted with her neighbors, other coal miners' wives, and I don't know, she just really liked it.
Okay, let's see. Okay, how's the town laid out as far as how did the miners get to work and that sort of thing?
Well, it was laid out as each mine opened. They built a few streets there, a little community type. There was number one mine, number two mine, and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And this is how the areas were named. You lived on number one hill, or you lived in number two camp, or you lived out at number four, and like this. And the miners didn't have far to go because they lived right there.
Okay. Do you remember where you lived?
Yes, I lived in number four.
Was that
and
a camp?
Then, yeah, number. Number four, which is 9th Street, 10th Street, and 11th Street, and 12th Street now. And then we moved to Reliance, which, by the way, got its name by being one mine that a man could always get a job in. If they got laid off or fired or quit or something from any of the other mines, they always could get a job in Reliance. That's where it got its name.
Okay. That's pretty interesting. I imagine if you got here in the 30s, were there boardwalks then? Do you remember?
No, there weren't.
Okay. Okay, do you remember much about the camps? Did you have indoor plumbing?
Not too much. There was up on the other side of town, which is A Street and B Street, and those places, of course, had indoor plumbing, bathrooms, and whatnot. But down in number four, we had cold water in the house, but there were no bathrooms, no toilets, inside toilets. And so everyone had an old outside toilet.
every house had their own outhouse then?
Right.
Okay. What about shopping? Did they have stores and things at these camps, or? Or was it just...
There was a Union Pacific store that, if you wanted to and worked at the Union Pacific, you could buy there and charge anything you wanted and as much as you wanted. And a lot of the men at that time really charged a lot, all kinds of things, furniture, clothing, groceries, tobaccos, everything. And a lot of them didn't ever even have a check coming on payday. The whole thing went to the company store. Just like the song.
Yes, says. I heard that song about that. Did you know, were you going to school then?
Yes. And schools were much behind the schools in the eastern states.
Oh, that's interesting.
I was learning things here in the eighth grade, which is the first grade that I went to school here. And I was learning things that I had in the sixth grade back there.
Really, I've heard now that the schools are advanced.
They're I'm sure they are, yes.
Okay, what about bars, brothels, burlesque shows? You know anything about them?
Oh, yeah, you could see the girls and the houses here. They would be sitting in the windows and waving at the fellas when they'd get out of the cars and going down the streets, and they'd holler at you when you went by, hi, how you doing? All of this.
Really?
And the bars.
What was the attitude of the police department about them?
Well, I really don't know, but they stayed out of the way, and I don't think they were any problem.
Okay, the citizens...
They stayed off the streets. They were not on the streets.
They had houses then?
Right. They were in their own places and in the window, and that's as close as they got. They didn't mingle with the people.
Oh, there wasn't any problem with good citizens then?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. Okay, I want to know a little bit about some of the other people, the wealthier people in town. How was their lives? What kind of homes did they live in? What part of town did they live in?
B Street, C Street, A Street, up in that area. That was the bigger houses and the wealthier people.
A lot of those old houses that are up on B Street now, were they... That sort of houses?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Where did other ethnics like Chinese live? Were there any Chinese around here that you remember as a child?
Yeah, the Chinese lived out in what was known as Number 6. Now that would be out in behind the wool warehouse and out in that area.
Okay.
Some of them had caves dug into the hills, just lived in the caves. Okay. And some of those Chinese miners, by the way, just stayed right down in the mines. They didn't even come out. They'd sleep a while and they'd go back to work, and they just lived down there, like rats.
Were the neighborhoods set up like this neighborhood is basically Chinese, this neighborhood is basically this, or...
Pretty much, yes, kind of.
Okay. Violence in the town.
There wasn't violence to speak of.
Okay.
Not much at all.
Okay, I imagine you were too young, but when Jerry was here earlier, did he know, Jerry, by the way, being your stepdad, did he know any of the local outlaws or any of that sort of thing? Did he ever tell you any stories about them?
No.
Okay. Was hoping for a really dynamite answer there, too. Okay, what church did you belong to?
The Catholic Church.
Okay, is it true that many denominations in the early years shared the same buildings and the same ministers, or wasn't that the case?
Yes, it was. We had two Catholic churches for the simple reason that it seems like the two original Catholic priests here couldn't get along. Each one built their own church.
Uh-huh.
And the other churches, there were not too many churches right then. The Protestant people held their meetings in the Catholic churches sometimes.
Okay.
Could we back up a little bit to the, you asked me about the bars.
Oh, absolutely. That's interesting.
Okay. I was too young to go into them at that time. But during Prohibition, everyone made wine. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people around here, I can remember that too. The whole town smelled of grapes in the springtime.
Oh, really?
A lot of the people would go together, several families would go together and buy a carload of grapes, which would come in from California on a boxcar. And when it got in here, the people would back their pickup trucks up. They'd line up in line and first come, first serve type. And if you had paid for a ton of grapes, you would back up there and shovel in a ton of grapes. And if you had 2 ton, the same way. And this is where the festival at the Slavinsky Dome got started. It used to be the Grape Festival. And when at the end of the winemaking season, which was in the spring, everyone got together and they had a dance at the Slavinsky Dome. And everyone would bring a bottle of their wine, and there was no prizes or anything like this, but all the old-timers used to get together and sample each other's wine and see who could make the best wine.
Was it legal to make wine then?
Certainly.
It was?
Certainly.
Okay. Well, I question that. Okay. That's interesting.
And about the only thing they sold in the bars was beer, because everybody drank their own wine and their neighbor's wine. And I've never heard that whiskey and this type of liquor was a big seller.
Hmm, okay, well, imagine if they made their own wine, they wouldn't need so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think we'll take a little break here. Okay, do you remember anything more about the wine festival at Slavinsky Dome?
Yeah, we always wore old clothes to it, because by the time you got out of there and the dance was over, everybody was half swacked and the grapes were all mashed on the floor and all over your clothes and everything. They used to hang grapes up from the ceiling and they'd hang them on strings. And they had policemen. They were just citizens, but they were elected sheriffs for the night.
Uh-huh.
And if they caught you swiping a grape, then you got fined. You would find like a nickel or a dime, something like this. And there was hundreds of grapes hanging up there. And they make a lot of money on that. And this went to the, as far as I know, this went to the, some kind of a Slovenian club. And that took care of the Slavinsky Dome and things like this. But there was always a good 2 or 3 inches of mashed grapes on the floor by the time the dance was over.
Okay, what did most of the Slavs, Yugoslavians?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what sort of work did they do?
Coal mines.
They were miners too?
Everybody here was a coal miner pretty much in those days.
Okay. Coal miners and I suppose around the store, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember any natural disasters, floods, dust storms, epidemics?
Yeah, I remember one flood, which sounds kind of funny for this area, but there was one, and that was that was in the 30s, because we hadn't been here very long. And it's before the creek was channeled where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And this part of town right here on 6th Street and down in here by the creek had a lot of water over this whole area. And also down in on West Flat, which would be McCarty.
Okay.
And down in there, that creek overflowed its banks, and the people on the low side of town had to be evacuated, all moved into the neighbors on the other side of, on the low side of the street, had to move in with neighbors on the high side of the street for a day or two until it subsided.
Okay, what year, if you remember, did your mom and dad buy this house? Or how old were you?
They bought it in the 50s.
Okay, you were already adult and on
yeah,
your own then.
Right.
Okay, do you remember any, the 8-hour day holiday, do you remember that?
Oh yes, that was a big thing here. That was the biggest holiday we had. That originated with the coal miners. They're the ones that brought the 8-hour work day into force. And that was on April 1st. April 1st was 8-hour day. The stores were all closed. We had, at the theater, the Rialto Theater, there was movies all day long for the kids. Free candy, free pop, free popcorn, everything. The kids had a ball on that day. And then they had old games like, but a great game here at that time, I don't even know much about it, but it was Bocciabolli. It's an Italian ball game of some kind.
A stickball game or a volleyball type game?
No.
Soccer?
Kind of a kickball type thing.
Okay.
Bocciabolli. And then they had a talent contest always on April 1st. And that was at the theater, and anyone in town that could do anything, sing, dance, tell stories, anything.
At the Rialto?
Yes, at the Rialto Theater. And we had some very good accordion players at that time, very good. Some of those people, Italian people mainly, they could really play accordion.
Oh, okay. Okay, As children, did you play with kids of other different ethnic groups, religions, races, that sort of thing?
Yes. Once I got my mother to realizing that that everybody played together.
They did.
We didn't do that in Pennsylvania.
A little more liberal out here.
Right.
Was that hard for your mother to accept?
Yes, it was.
Okay. How old was she when you came out here?
Well, she was close to 50.
Oh, pretty set in her ways then, I imagine.
Right.
Okay.
The first time I went to a Spanish girl's home and had supper, my mother about had a stroke. When I came home, she asked me what I had to eat, and I named tortillas and chili and things like this, and she knew I was going to die, but I didn't.
Well, we're certainly glad you survived tortillas. Okay, do you remember school? What was the classroom atmosphere like? Maybe start with discipline.
Well, I would say about like it is now. If the teacher wasn't looking, we did all kinds of things. If the teacher was looking, we were good kids.
Ah, spankings, things like that allowed
in
school?
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
No.
Classes. Did you have any sex education?
No.
Okay. How did you find out about sex education?
Well, probably the way everybody else did, in the back seat of a car.
Great. Okay. How many grades were in one classroom? Was it regular high school or school type atmosphere, or like a one room schoolhouse?
No. There was no particular grade in any particular classroom. In history, we changed classes. In history, for instance, you would have your 7th grade and your 8th grade, which is the grades that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
They had history together. They had math together. There would be like one math class, one history class, and so forth. And 7th and 8th grade students were combined.
Okay.
And then in high school, it was pretty much the same way. You'd have juniors and sophomores in the same math classes, English classes.
Okay. No sex education now.
No,
okay.
Not at all.
Were boys and girls expected to act in different ways, and how was this enforced?
Well, one thing, the boys couldn't wear jeans to school. The girls couldn't wear pants of any kind to school. We had to wear skirts and dresses. And the dress, I'm glad to see that dress code go. It was not
I was when I was in high school, too, yes. What were children expected to do at home? Did you have a special job in the house?
I didn't.
Okay.
I had it pretty easy. I didn't have anything to do.
Okay. Were you ever sick as a child? And what remedies or what treatment? Did you go to a doctor? Or?
No. My mother was great for herbs and hot toddies. Whatever you got a hot toddy.
Oh, really?
That cured a cold and anything you might have. You got a hot toddy and went to bed.
Okay. Do you remember the bell ringing at night in Rock Springs? It rang every night at 10 o'clock, I guess.
Yes, that was a curfew. You bet I remember, because you didn't dare be on the street after that, or the police would stop and ask you where you were going, why you were out at 10 o'clock, where you'd been. And that was really fun when we came home from a ball game. They were real busy stopping everybody.
That was all nights. There was no night that you were allowed to be out after.
No, that was all the time.
Okay, would you arrested if you didn't have a good reason to be out? Or?
Not most of the time. Not unless you were doing something you shouldn't have been, like trying to break in somewhere or something like this. But normally, no. You just get a kind of a talking to and sent home.
Okay. Okay, do you remember much about Christmases as a little girl? The sort of presents you would get, decorating the tree. Was your family relatively wealthy or relatively poor growing up?
About medium, I'd say.
Okay. Okay, so I imagine you had real Christmas trees then.
Always had a real Christmas tree because you could go out anywhere where there was trees, you could go out and cut one. And we used to go out south, or go up around Pinedale, or go anywhere like that where there's trees and just cut one. Nobody said anything, you
know. Okay, no permits or anything necessary.
No.
Okay.
We didn't, by the way, you didn't have to have driver's license then either to drive a car or anything. There was no driver's licenses. If you got in a car and drove it, good.
What about traffic regulations?
There wasn't very many of them either. When you saw the train coming down the track, you just automatically stopped.
That makes sense. Okay. No regulation on drinking and driving, open container, none of that sort of thing? Okay.
Nothing like that.
Okay, what did your family do for fun or on vacation?
Usually go north and go camping and fishing, which there was no limit on fish at that time. You could catch as many trout as you could catch.
Did you need a license?
Yeah, you needed a license.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally did come out with a limit on fish that was 20. If you have 20 fish, 20 trout.
Do you remember the fishing being better then?
Lots better.
Was it really? Okay.
And you could go fish anywhere. There was no posted land or anything like this.
Okay, did you ever go to dances?
We had one, yes. We had one dance hall. It was the Playmore Dance Hall. And there was no bar connected with it or anything. It was strictly a dance hall. And every Saturday night they had a dance, and it was a lot of fun.
Okay, what sort of bands?
What sort of dance?
No, bands.
Oh, bands.
What sort of music?
Oh, usually just local people that went in there and played, not really a band.
Okay, what I mean by
just
that
anybody
is
who wanted to go play on Saturday night. Joined the group.
Okay. Was alcohol consumed at these events?
Yeah.
You realized it wasn't sold, but did people find ways of drinking?
Oh, yes. In fact, they went to the dance, they'd bring a bottle and have it in their car, and there was no drinking in the dance hall.
Okay.
They'd go outside and have a drink and go back in and dance some more.
Okay. Do you remember going roller skating at all?
No, there was not a place to go roller skating.
Oh, okay. Okay, do you remember any famous people, or as you said, it was just local dance bands, but any famous dance bands, circuses, Wild West shows, that sort of thing ever coming through here?
Well, there was a Wild Bill show that used to come in here quite often, and it was pretty good. They had rope, people with rope tricks, and then we had rodeo always with the big rodeo performers. They were here on the 4th of July. We always had a big rodeo.
Where was that held at?
That was held in Blairtown at the fairgrounds. We had at the 4th of July and on Labor Day, always a big rodeo.
Okay, I think we'll move on now to some questions on marriage and family. Okay, we'll start with where and when did you meet your husband?
Oh, I met him at the login. We were playing dice.
Good. Was that legal, by the way?
Oh,
gambling?
Definitely. They had slot machines and gambling tables.
Oh, really?
And I was beating him, and he didn't like it. At the dice table, that's where I met him.
Okay. Okay, do you remember hearing anything, or do you have any knowledge of the Chinese riots?
Oh, yes. That was quite a thing. That was in 1885, in September, was the Chinese riot and massacre. And there was 26 Chinese that were shot down or burned in their homes.
By who?
On that day. By the miners.
Why?
In Rock Springs.
Okay, why? Was this a labor thing? Dispute?
Yes, it was. The Union Pacific, this is the time that the railroad was being built in Utah. And the Union Pacific, which of course had the mines, were also building the railroad. And they decided that they would import these Chinese miners. They could work them for a little bit of nothing, and they worked them in the wintertime in the coal mines, and in the summertime on the railroad, building the railroad in Utah. And the miners, they already had a union.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
With John L. Lewis.
Was he here?
No, he was not. He was here sometimes at this particular time when they were having all this labor trouble with the Chinese. He made trips here.
Okay.
But the miners tried to get them to get rid of the Chinese because they were being laid off and fired and they couldn't make a living for their families. The Chinese were taking the jobs, and they warned them. They gave them warning that they were going to burn them out and shoot them if they didn't leave. And they didn't want it to look like a drunken brawl.
Yeah.
So on this day that they did this, the bars were closed. There were no drinks served, no liquor sold, nothing.
This was prearranged then. The whole community knew it was going to happen.
That's right. And they didn't have anything that could say it was just a bunch of drunken miners that went out there and killed the Chinese. It didn't happen that way. They were warned and they were told, the company was told, and it they just kept their word. They all ganged together and went and killed the ones that were left.
Okay, what happened to the miners after this happened? Legally, what happened to them?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Then the whole community wanted the Chinese out.
Yes.
Okay.
Because the whole community, their livelihood depended upon their jobs at the mines, and the Chinese were taking them.
Okay. Okay, what happened to the Chinese people that were killed?
Well, they were buried here in that part of the cemetery, today's cemetery that's up there now, in the Chinese section. And later years, 1920-something, the Union Pacific had all these bodies dug up and returned to China.
Really?
Because at that time, a Chinese person wanted to definitely be buried in their homeland. And the Union Pacific did that.
So the Union Pacific paid for their transportation over here to work
in
the first place?
Yes, they did. And the few Chinese that were left, which there was one who was a laundryman who everybody liked and apparently left him alone, and a few like that.
Okay.
And the Union Pacific paid their way back to China.
Okay, I'd like to ask you a few questions now about unions. UMW, I imagine, was the strongest union out here.
Yes.
Okay. Were you ever in a union yourself, or was Jerry in a union, your stepfather in a union?
Yes, he was in a union, and later years I was too. But at that time, in the early times that we're talking of, he was definitely in the UMW of A.
Did you have to be in the union to get work?
No. But it was a good idea if you were.
What do you mean, good idea?
Well, you got more jobs, better jobs, and the union members left you alone if you were in
okay.
the union.
Was Wyoming right to work then?
Not at that time.
Okay. Okay, was there a union hall in town?
Oh, yes. It was up on North Front Street. It was where the, on the corner, it used to be the Motor Day shop
okay.
a while back.
Okay,
right on the corner there, big stone building. And there was a union meeting there every night. The different mines, the old Reliance would have one night, and Superior would have one night, and the Rock Springs, certain mines would have another night. There's a meeting there every night.
Okay, you said where people were encouraged to belong in the union.
Right.
Did the union encourage their members to patronize certain bars or stores and to avoid others?
No.
Okay. Were union leaders actual workers or were they full-time organizers?
No, they were actual workers.
Okay, I don't know if you would remember too much of this, but which union leaders were the most effective and why?
Well, John L. Lewis, in the case of the United Mine Workers, he did more for the coal miner than anyone else ever did.
Okay.
One thing that he did, and this is not only in Rock Springs, this was all over the country, he did away with the old outhouses and things like this. He made that better for the miners in that respect. He saw to it they had indoor plumbing and there was no old kind of medical insurance, anything like this. He brought that about for the coal miner.
So John L. Lewis is a hero in this part of the country.
I think he is with any coal miner in any part of the country.
Okay.
He made himself wealthy along the way, but then what leader doesn't if they have a chance?
This is true. You spoke a little bit about insurance. What other sort of benefits? How did widows survive after the loss of a husband?
Well, pretty much through the union, the miners themselves always took up a collection which started them out pretty good, and everyone gave a lot. By a lot, I mean like $20, $25 a person. And when you add that up with a whole town full of coal miners, that's a lot
times.
Of money.
Okay.
And the companies were not that bad either. They gave them money and they did all right.
Okay. Were non-whites or women welcome in the union?
As near as I remember, there were no non-whites in the mines.
Okay. Was there a woman's auxiliary?
No.
Okay. What recreational activities did workers, the miners, do other than go to union meetings? What did they do to have fun?
Baseball was a big thing here. They played a lot of baseball, softball, bocce ball, and that's about all. There was not a lot of, and fishing, that outdoors things.
Okay.
And they played cards. The families would get together and play cards a lot. Three or four families get together on a weekend and play cards, put the kids to bed on somebody's house and play cards there all night.
Okay. Do you ever remember your father being out of work on strike?
Yes, he was on a strike occasionally.
Any particularly long ones or memorable ones?
No. They never struck for too long at a time.
Did they win?
They always had to compromise, and in some ways they would win, in some ways the company would win. It seemed like everybody won at the end of the strike.
Okay. Were there any violence during these strikes?
Not real violence. A few times there would be fist fights and things like that, but with somebody trying to cross the picket line, but not actual violence where anybody really got hurt.
How did they keep the scabs from crossing picket lines?
Well...
Or were they perhaps smart enough not to try?
Yes, mostly that. But if a few miners got in front of them with a club or two in their hands, why, they didn't try to cross.
Okay, have you ever crossed a picket line?
No.
Okay, would you ever cross a picket line?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't plan on it at this point.
Okay. Were conditions better after striking?
Yes.
Okay, then do you think overall that union improves the quality of workers' lives?
Yes, I think so. I think in some ways, some unions, I think, have taken unfair advantage. Money-wise, they've had some bad handling of the funds and so forth, but all in all, I think unions were good.
Okay. I don't remember. I said I'd ask you about the birth of your kids. Okay, let's just talk a little bit. After you married, were you working or were you a housewife?
I was a housewife.
Okay. What machines did you have to help you with housework, that sort of thing?
Not very many machines. I'd say a sewing machine, and that's about it.
Okay. Were you living in... let me reword this. Where were you living while your kids were young?
In Idaho, in Wallace, Idaho, and Kellogg, Idaho, which was a hard rock area. They mined lead, iron, and zinc.
Okay. What was your husband doing then?
He was a hard rock miner.
Okay.
Lead, copper, and zinc.
You said you had a sewing machine. Did you make your own clothing?
A lot of it, yes. I love to sew. A lot of my children's clothing, too.
Okay. Did you socialize with other women while the men were at work?
Yes. We used to get, especially on the evening shift or the graveyard shift, and canasta was a big card game at that time. We used to get together and we'd bake a cake or cookies or something.
Okay, you weren't living in Rock Springs, and let's come back to Rock Springs. Do you remember when you moved back here?
Yes, I moved back here in 1953.
Okay, you must have had Cliff then, your oldest son then, right?
Cliff and Barbara were both born in Idaho.
Okay.
And Wallace was born in Rock Springs.
Okay. When you came back to Rock Springs, did you have a garden?
No.
Okay. That's, it says so right here.
It's too hard to grow, or was at that time too hard to grow a garden. We didn't get much rain then.
Okay. What chores did your husband do in and around the house?
He didn't do very many.
Okay. Okay, here's the question you should like then. Do women work harder than men?
Definitely.
Oh, I agree. Okay, politics. Do you remember the first time you voted?
Yes.
Who you voted for?
Yes. President Roosevelt was my first presidential vote.
Okay. Do you remember, I'm just going to give you a few names here and get some reaction from you on them. Tino Roncalio, Ed Hirschler, Nick Wataha, Bob Johnson. I just want some response, if any, on any of those people.
Well, Roncalio, I remember. Roncalio, he came up the hard way. He was born in a poor family. His father used to push a junk cart on the street, gathering up junk and selling it. And
okay, all those people I mentioned were Democrats. Do you recall if your parents were Democrat or Republican?
They were Democrat.
Okay. Do you recall when and why the Democrats took over Sweetwater County? Because Wyoming is basically Republican, but Sweetwater County is strongly Democrat.
Well, the union and the working people were mainly Democrats. I think this is what took Sweetwater County and made them Democratic.
And you think that the Democrats were more responsive to the working people?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, do you still feel that way?
Yes.
Okay, I just have some questions here. Were there any socialists or communists active in the area? And did they get any working class support or Wobblies?
No.
Okay. Was there an independent labor party?
No.
Okay, now.
Not that I know of.
Okay, was politics clean in this area?
Is politics ever clean?
Okay. Were you an active party member? Active Democrat?
Yes.
Okay, as far as going to party meetings, rallies, vote getting, that sort of thing?
Yes, we did for a long time.
Okay, you remember any particular candidate you supported? Okay, can't remember one. All right. KKK, were they active in this region?
No, they never were.
Okay, then I assume you weren't a member.
No.
You didn't know anyone who was a member?
No.
Did women regularly vote?
Yes.
Do you think?
I would say they did. This is the first state that gave them the right to vote. And so, yes, I'd say they did.
Okay.
We also had the first Justice of the Peace was in Wyoming, woman justice. And the first woman mayor was in the state of Wyoming.
Why do you suppose that is?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the women in Wyoming had more guts.
Okay. Could very well be.
They went after it.
Okay. Okay, the current president is a Republican. What do you think of his policies?
I don't think much of them. And not because he's a Republican. He didn't do a whole lot for California when he was governor there. And I think he's putting on the best play act of his life.
Okay.
As being president.
Do you think he's harming the country?
I think so.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Wyoming is pretty much a boom and bust sort of part of the country. And do you remember the boom? What was this area like?
It was crowded.
What year was that? Would you say that started? Approximate?
About 77, 78, long in there.
Okay. When 60 Minutes came, they covered a lot of corruption in this town. Okay, let's start on that. Did you think 60 minutes was correct?
No, certainly not.
Did you think crime was a problem?
It was definitely a problem at that time, yes. But those pictures that 60 Minutes took, pictures on K Street, they had a picture of a big, tall pimp that was dressed up in black leather and a big hat on. I have driven up and down K Street ever since.
Trying to find him.
Never seen him.
Okay, do you remember Nick Wataha?
I don't know a Nick Wataha. I never heard of one, but Paul Wataha was our mayor.
Excuse me.
And he was a good mayor. He did a lot for our town. I know there was a lot of things said against him on 60 Minutes and other broadcasts and so forth, a lot of bad publicity, but he did a lot for this town.
Do you think 60 Minutes forced him to get out of politics?
I don't think so. I don't think they could have forced him to do anything. I think he was probably just ready to quit it. I think that he had figured he was in office long enough.
Okay. I don't recall. Was the Depression on when you moved here?
Yes. It was bad. Jobs were scarce in the eastern part of the country. Yes, it was on.
Okay, let's, World War II, what were working conditions like here in World War II? Do you recall using ration cards, black market?
Yes, I recall ration cards. Meat was rationed. You had so many stamps, you could spend a week for meat and gasoline. The only way you could take a trip was to use your gasoline to get there.
Okay, you said your husband is from Utah. What did his family do?
They were ranchers in Utah. And by the way, he's a descendant from the from the Gibbons who had the store that Butch Cassidy worked in before he became an outlaw. In his very young days, he worked for Gibbons in a grocery store.
Is that
he
right?
He came to Rock Springs and he worked in a meat market in Rock Springs. Butch Cassidy was quite a character in Rock Springs in the early days. He was well known in Rock Springs.
And he used to work in your
yes.
family's grocery store.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's pretty interesting.
They liked him too, by the way. They thought he was pretty nice.
Yeah, I've heard that he's really, no one around here really considers him
an
as
outlaw.
Much a criminal or an
no.
outlaw as
No.
Sort of a Robin Hood type character. Okay. Let's go back a little bit over through your employment. Do you remember your first job and what the conditions were like?
My first job was with the telephone company in Rock Springs. The conditions were good. The pay was not great. It was 25 cents an hour.
How did that compare to the mines or...
Well, I think in those days the miners were only making around $8 a day for an 8 hour. They were only making a dollar and a half an hour, something like that.
Okay.
And then when World War II came, why our wages, they went to 35 cents and then 50 cents and then 75 cents and before long we were making a whole dollar.
How old were you when you first started work for the telephone company?
18.
Okay, how old were you when World War II started?
21.
21. So actually you got raises pretty fast in there.
Yes.
Okay. How many hours a day did you work and how many days a week?
Worked 8 hours a, 8 hours a day and then we worked during World War II, we worked a lot of hours, but of course we got time and a half for them, too. We worked 7 days and sometimes 10 hours, sometimes a double shift.
Okay, what specifically was your job and under what conditions was it carried out?
I was a telephone operator and then a supervisor, and the conditions were very good.
Okay, did you have bosses or foremen monitoring your work?
Yes, we had supervisors monitoring us all the time. They were very good.
Okay. Okay, how long did you work for the phone company?
About 9 years.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Okay, thank you. I think we're just about finished here. I'll just have one more question here, kind of a parting shot for you. What is the biggest change, in your opinion, in the county since you were young? And do you think that conditions have improved since you were young?
Well, the biggest change would be in the crime rate. There's a lot more crime than, and different kinds of crime than there was when I was young. There's more sex crimes and things like that, crimes of passion, so to speak. Where in the early days, if there was a crime, it was robbery or something like that.
Or do you think television is the cause of that? Or do you think just general conditions in the country?
No, I think it's just really the growth of the town and the county. There's so many more people, because we always had that kind of crime in the cities and larger places. And this place has grown so much that we're almost a city.
Okay, a lot of people who are native Rock Springs have a rather, I don't know, disdainful attitude toward people who are just in here to work, transients and things. Do you think that having all these people coming in from the rest of the country to work for a while, make some money and leave, do you think that is bad or good for the city?
I think it's good for the city. They spend money while they are here, and people like that, as a rule, don't take anything back with them. If they're tramping around following jobs, they're spending what they're making, and this is good for the town.
Okay. What, in your opinion, does the future hold for the county?
I think it's going to continue and to grow and get better all the time. And I think that there'll always be more jobs here than there is anywhere else. There always has been. And while it's in a slump right now, we'll come out of it.
Okay, well, thank you very much.